All right, complicated questions this morning. Should an unmarried woman be able to place her child up for adoption if the father doesn't want her to? Fathers are fighting mothers in courts all over the country over this very question, making it more complicated. The laws vary state by state, and it's extremely murky. Eric L. Smith is a paralegal who specializes in fathers' rights. He believes the process should be simpler for putative fathers, as they're called legally, who want to call a stop to adoptions that the moms want. He successfully stopped his own son from being adopted 17 years ago, and we're going to hear about that. And also joining us is Susan Garner Eisenman. She's an attorney specializing in adoption and child welfare law. She believes that there's more to these cases than simply father's rights. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Well, Eric, you're a rare catch here for the takeaway because you're a father who has been through a situation like this. Tell us your own story about your own contested adoption, if you would.
Okay. Well, briefly, I was living in South Dakota and, you know, was not married to the mother. She got pregnant. She was a pretty strict Catholic girl, and she left to go cross country. I didn't know where, and placed the child for adoption without any input from me at all. And I went in search of the court case. Finally, found it down in San Antonio, Texas. But by the time, while I was looking for it, the adoption was actually ordered, and my rights were terminated. So I had to come in and get a new trial on that. And the judge down there granted me a new hearing. We set it up, and then before the final hearing actually went through, the prospective adoptive parents and I agreed to a sort of legal custody arrangement where I would still keep my parental rights. The adoption would not go through, but they would keep custody, and I would have a traditional visitation agreement. So that, and that's basically how it's been for the last 17 years.
Okay, now, Eric, there are an estimated 75,000 children waiting for adoption right now. We don't know how many of those cases get contested. There's no good data on it. We certainly don't know how many will be contested in the future. But there are cases maybe similar to yours pending in places like Ohio, Utah, and California. What's the state of play on these court battles going on between mothers who want to give kids up for adoption and fathers who want to stop it?
Well, when you say what's the state of play, what exactly do you mean by that?
Well, what are the legal issues in these cases? I mean, is every case different because state laws are so different, or is there a theme here? I mean, is it just a hodgepodge of laws that from your perspective, fathers have to contend with?
Yeah, in a sense, there is. Each state is different. And so, yeah, I mean, you hit it on the head. Each state is different. So if a mother stays in her own state and everything's in one state, you really don't. You don't have much confusion about jurisdiction and the laws and so forth. But when the mother decides to go out of state, that's when you get into problems, especially where the father may have secured his rights in one state but didn't know about the second state.
Okay.
Or about the laws in the second state.
Okay, so traveling over state lines can make things complicated. Susan Garner-Eisenman, I want to bring you in. I'm sure you're happy to hear about Eric's story. It seems to have worked out for the best for his family, but you say that there aren't a lot of cases like this. Maybe fathers don't need more rights in these cases. Explain.
I think that what we're dealing with here are couple dynamics, and that each couple's situation is different, and they're sometimes complex. You know, what we're dealing with here is two people who were in a relationship and who had relationship problems, which sounds like a pretty common everyday kind of issue. There can be all kinds of issues. Generally, what you're dealing with here is some kind of, you know, dysfunction within the relationship. And certainly in some cases, I'm not implying that this was the case with Mr. Smith, but in some cases there is violence involved. Mm-hmm. Some of these couples have very short relationships or virtually no relationship at all.
So it sounds like you'd be worried about cases like this sort of shaping up to be de facto custody battles, where maybe it's not so much about the welfare of the kid, but parents taking shots at each other.
I think that sometimes these cases do seem a whole lot like Punch and Judy shows.
Indeed.
And they really lose their focus, which should be on the best interest of the child. I think the fact that there are court cases say that fathers do have rights, and that when fathers assert these rights, that courts do listen. I think that women are U.S. citizens, and women do have a right to travel, you know, within the United States. And so I don't think we want to be in a situation where we say because a woman is pregnant, she may not travel.
So is there a better way, Susan, then, from your perspective in the courtroom, is there a better way to separate out the fathers with honorable intentions, a father like Eric who wanted to raise his child and did so successfully, from fathers who just maybe want to make life difficult for the ex-girlfriend or the ex-wife or whoever else is putting the kid up for adoption?
Well, if it's an ex-wife, the men have every right that the
women
have.
Oh, that's different, of course. Okay, so a couple who was never married, yeah.
In Ohio, all a man has to do to secure those rights is he has to send in a postcard to the state of Ohio, and he has to buy a couple bags of groceries. And if he does those two things, he has every right that the mother has in any discussion about placing the child for adoption. I think there are complexities because we are dealing with 50 states and 50 different sets of laws. There has been an attempt in Congress to introduce a Proud Fathers Act, which would be a way for fathers to be advised if there were adoptions proceedings involving their child in another state. But that is in the formative stages. It has not yet been enacted.
Eric Smith, you're a proud father, at least I take it that you are. Do we need any kind of national registry or a nationalization of notification? What do you think is needed here to make adoption proceedings more accessible to fathers?
Well, you're talking about the interstate issue.
Certainly
we need some sort of national database, but whether it'll work is a different question. I'm quite familiar.
What about just notification, though, the proposal that that Susan just mentioned?
The bill that's pending now?
Notifying a father if an adoption proceeding has started.
Well, yeah, that's the whole issue.
That's registry. Okay.
The national registry. I mean, I've read the bill in the form that it's in now, and in my opinion, I've been asked to support it, and I don't support it because it simply won't work, and I'm not sure it really can work.
Eric, it's certainly a complicated issue. You are a success story, I suppose, Eric L. Smith, who challenged an adoption and managed to raise his child. Susan Garner Eisenman is an attorney specializing in adoption and welfare law. We're looking at the murky, murky world of interstate adoption and disputes between parents when children are put up for adoption. Thank you both for joining us this morning.